It is a blessing and a privilege to be here back home. I am honored and I'm humbled by the invitation to come out and speak to my brothers and sisters, my family.
All right.
I praise God for you and your pastor, Pastor Tidwell. I honor him in his absence of preaching for you today. He has entrusted me to bring the word to you. Praise and worship service was great. The Spirit of God is moving. It's my prayer that that will continue throughout this word. Amen. By way of introduction, there was a Frenchman. No, I'm not. I know him at home. Let me preach. Can I have freedom?
Yes. By way of introduction,
there was a Frenchman named Napoleon Bonaparte. A man of humble beginnings who went on to be a general. He stated something after making his rounds in his camp to his different posts in the army. He walked up on a soldier that was asleep on his post. He asked him, he said, "Soldier, what is your name?" The soldier replied, "My name is Napoleon." Bonaparte replied, "What did you say your name was?" He said, "My name is Napoleon." Then Bonaparte stated, "Soldier, my name is Napoleon. And I suggest that you either change your name or start living up to it." Brothers and sisters, we have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I would suggest to you that if we are not reflecting that in our character and in our duty and in our speech, that we may need to examine ourselves to see if we have really been called and are really in the faith. Open your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I will be reading from the fourth verse. I would encourage all of you in your personal private devotions to meditate on this entire letter. But this morning we're going to be focusing on the first three verses. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, hold on a minute. And if you can't find it, I suggest you spend some time in Sunday school or in Bible study. See how I slipped that one in on you? Ephesians chapter number 4. Beginning at verse number 1. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come to you on this Sunday morning, asking, Lord, for power from on high. I ask, Lord, that I would decrease while you increase. That the words out of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I pray, oh Lord, that we don't leave this place the same way that we came. I know that you have a word for somebody. You have a word for all of us, Lord. Lord, if it's not nothing but just a reminder, Lord, because we oftentimes need to be reminded of things. I ask that you would move in a mighty way. Touch right now. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning, please permit me for just a little while to speak on this subject of worthy in your walk. Walking worthy. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe that we can see and glean some instruction on how to do that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
Now, this letter of Ephesians is divided into two equal sections. It talks about our position, and then it talks about our practice. It talks about our doctrine, and then it talks about our duty. It talks about our calling, and then our conduct. Chapters 1 through 3 talks about the riches we have in Christ, while 4 through 6 talks about all the responsibilities that we have in Christ. Brothers and sisters, sadly we are living in a day and age where we want all the riches of Christ, but none of the responsibilities that we have in Christ. Yeah, we want God to bless us. We want Him to open all the doors for us. We want Him to give us all that our heart desires. And yet we neglect to reflect the image of the one who saved us and redeemed us by His blood. Our text here this morning, I believe, is tailored to teach us that being worthy in our walk is demonstrated by a worthy willingness and a worthy witness. Now, I want all of us to tune in spiritually right here, because we're going to try to walk through this text and allow the Holy Spirit to drop off a few helpful hints. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Paul says in verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. The first thing I want us to look at is the reason that we have to walk worthy.
All right.
You know, just like many of us, we want all the riches in Christ, but none of the responsibilities. A lot of us won't do anything unless we got a reason. So that brings us to this question. What is the reason? Why do I got to walk worthy?
All right.
The answer is that we don't have a reason, but Paul gives us many reasons. He said, I therefore, and what do you do when you see the word therefore in the text?
All right.
Huh? Anybody know? You find out what it's there for.
All right,
Paul said, considering all the things God has done for us in the last three chapters, we are to walk worthy.
All
right. Can I tell y'all a little bit of what he did?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
In verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1, he said, God has blessed us. Verse 4, he chose us. 5 and 6, he adopted us as sons. 7 and 8, he redeemed us. 9 and 10, he will gather us into his name. 13 and 14, he gave us the Holy Spirit and he sealed us. That's chapter 1. In chapter 2, he saved us when we were dead in our sins and ruled by Satan, controlled by us, under God's wrath, paid without God, separated from Christ and without hope in this present world. You know what else he did? He loved us. He liberated us. He lifted us. You want to know how he did? He did it through his favor. He did it through his faith and through his blood. And because he did it, we are products of grace, partners of Israel, people of God, and pillars in the temple. And gave us the purpose of the mystery, and then we discovered that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask of him. If that's not enough, he woke us up this morning. He swallowed us on our way. He clothed us in our right mind. He put food on our table. Oh my God, my God. Is there anybody here that can say, I got a reason to go forward with the calling for which? Paul says, now that you have these reasons, I have gave you your major theology correct. I have gave you doctrine in all these first three chapters. So now, what are you going to do with that? Paul says, I now beseech you. I urge you. I encourage you. I exhort you. I beg of you. I recommend that you are worthy of the calling with which you were called.
Yeah.
But Paul, I really don't understand what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you mean when you say walk word. I don't get it. This word walk in the text is speaking of a Christian's lifestyle.
Yeah.
It also suggests that it's about taking action. Because, you know, walking is a deliberate action. You know, we're doing something when we're walking. We're putting one foot in front of the other. We're moving forward. To walk in a manner worthy of our calling is to act a certain way by choice. This is action. It's not passive. Paul never said in the text to lay around in a manner worthy of our calling. That's not what he said. He said, walk. Let's see if we can make that a little more plain.
Come on now.
I've been working all day.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yes.
I just got home.
Yes.
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 My wife needs me to run some errands.
Yes.
But I decide I don't want to do it. Is that walking worthy? How about this right here?
Come on.
Everybody is talking about me and slighting me.
Help us.
Treat me not in the way that they ought to be treated. So I just go all off the handle and flip out on
them.
Am I walking worthy? Am I walking worthy?
No.
We have to understand, regardless of our situation and where God has placed us, we still have the call of God upon our lives. And regardless of what anybody else do, regardless of what anybody else say, we still have a responsibility to reflect the one who has brought us into the light.
Thank you. Thank
you. This word worthy in the text has the idea of being weighty, heavy, properly weighing in on something.
All right.
Assuming matching value, it's worth to work. Why do I draw that out? When we look at worthy, we need, brothers and sisters, to realize that we must be weighty Christians. We got to be heavy in our walk. We're not to be lightweight. We're not easily pushed around. You understand what I'm trying to tell you here? The devil can't easily move us. Circumstances don't easily move us. When we get knocked down, we get right back up. And we come to church and we give God praise because we are heavy.
We heavy.
We're fast.
Come on now.
We got some weight on us. Faith that only kicks in when everything is coming up roses, or when you're sitting in the right seat, when you came to church and ain't nobody sitting on your chair. Faith that kicks in when the choir only sings the song you want to hear, or faith that kicks in when they wear the tie that you want to wear on Wednesday, or they wear the corsage you want to wear on Wednesday. That's lightweight faith.
Hallelujah.
He tells us in verse 14 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh my God. Brothers and sisters, we got to be heavy Christians. Now, how do we get there? How can we be heavyweight? How can we be worthy Christians? How can we be worthy in our walk? Brothers and sisters, Paul gives us a pathway to doing this Let's walk through these next couple verses here. I know I'm on a time restraint here because, you know, things have changed around here. And amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. In verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Brothers and sisters, we have to walk to be worthy in our walk. The text says that we must do this with all lowliness. What does lowliness mean? Anybody know?
Humility.
We got to be humble. We got to have some humility in our life. It can be very difficult for most of us because we have been taught to be prideful. The world says that we all deserve better. We got to look out for number one. The world says that I got mine, you better get yours. That's what the world tells us, and that's what it teaches us. But Jesus teaches us something different. Jesus said that we must wash each other's feet. Ain't that what he said? Am I right about that? But did that text say that some folk feet don't stink?
All right now, come on now.
He said the text said we gotta wash each other's feet. So what does that mean? What is that symbolizing? We gotta bear with one another. We gotta take on each other's burdens. We gotta take on each other's problems and situations. And some folk got some messy stuff in their life. To unity in the body. But that's another message. But we're gonna keep moving. So you may be asking yourself, how do I become humble? How do I exercise this humility? In the over in Philippians, Paul tells the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-8, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as man.
All right.
He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There it is right there. It's right there in the text. You want to be humble? You want to be lowly in spirit? We got to empty ourselves. We got to die. We got to die to self. And we got to die to
Eve.
If we are to walk worthy, we are to have the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? How do we renew our mind?
The Word of God.
If you ain't in the Word, you're a long way far off. You got to get in the Word in order to renew your mind if you're going to have the mind of Christ. And just like this text teaches us, we must replace self-centeredness that considers our own rights, plans, and interests with Christ's mind that would have us looking out for the interests of others. This means at home. Sometimes you gotta, you know, we all say we're gonna put our kids first or this, that, and the other, but sometimes that's not always true. That's just the reality of it. You know, I work hard, and that this is my money, and, you know, I deserve to do something nice for myself every now and then. Have you ever heard that? You know, you said that. We gotta learn to put in front of us. Stop looking at ourselves. See, remember in our doctrine that we had in the beginning of this, in the first three chapters, Paul told us that God had already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So we got a reason to put other folk in front of us.
Come on.
There's no room for walking worthy if we lord it over folk either.
Come on with it.
Ain't no room for that.
That's good.
If you think you wear the big pants all the time. And you got to be in charge of everything. And you always got to be the president of dysfunction. If you've been the secretary all this time and if it's going to always be like that, you're a lightweight. You ain't no heavy Christian. That's not heavy. You got to move yourself to the side. You come alongside somebody and put them where they need to be. Elevate them. Elevate yourself. If he who knew no sin could humble himself and become sin for us, we too must humble ourselves and become obedient.
Alright, come on,
Doc. Not just loneliness, or humbleness either, but gentleness.
Yeah.
That's loneliness' first cousin, which means meekness. Meekness is not to be confused with weakness either.
Yeah, come on now.
Just because we are gentle or we are meek, that don't mean we soft.
Alright.
So what does it mean for us to be gentle or meek?
Mm-hmm.
This word suggests power under control.
All right.
Power under control.
Uh-huh.
Meekness, according to the Bible, is being humble and gentle towards others and willingly being submissive and obedient to the Lord.
All right.
It's not being selfish. It's not being arrogant.
Amen.
All right.
It's not being loud or obnoxious.
Come on now.
Rather, it's having a quiet but confident trust in the Lord and being willing and able to do whatever it is He commands.
Yeah. All right.
Meekness does not mean succumbing to everyone else or being a doormat either.
Yeah.
Again, Jesus is an example of being meek. He had all the power in the world. All
right.
But he let them hang him high.
Yeah.
He let them stretch him wide.
Yeah.
He let them put those stakes in his hand. They let him. Put him in his feet. He let them pierce him in the side. All that power. He harnessed that power. And he kept that power under control. And he allowed them to chill him.
All right.
On that cross.
Yeah.
He did it for me.
Yeah.
And he did it for you.
That's
an example of me. The God that we say that we serve, we got to reflect the example that He gave us. We can't just come to church on Sunday when we come to church and praise and worship God. We got to be every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is the walk, the lifestyle that we must live.
Amen.
Now we come to a word. I got 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Now we come to this word. Being worthy in our walk. That's the next step. We got to suffer long.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have some patience.
Okay.
Scripture steadfastness and in the endurance of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Simply stated, long suffering means to suffer long.
All right.
It means to suffer long.
Yeah.
We got to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
It enables us to never give up regardless of the circumstances.
All right.
We have the perfect example of this in the life of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Joseph suffered much at the hands of his brothers.
Yes.
I got some Bible news here, right?
Yes.
Joseph suffered much.
Yes, he did.
But when it came time for him to make himself known to his brothers, what did he say? When they tried to say they're sorry, what did he say?
Come on in.
He said that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So there's a reason most of the time, if not all the time. I mean, I understand sometimes bad stuff do happen to you, you know. But oftentimes the stuff you're going through, God is just waiting on us to see if we're going to hold on. To see if we're going to endure that thing. We just got through singing about how we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. I mean, you know, when you're a soldier, that doesn't mean when the bullets start flying, you start running. But our breakthrough.
Oh, yeah.
That thing that we have been praying about, that situation that we have been praying for God to work out, we just go in the town, and now we just missed our breakthrough. We ain't even getting there. Now we got to start all over again. You might as well stuff in it. It's going to be difficult. It suggests that there's going to be some work that we got to do.
Uh-huh.
But we got to be firm. We got to be steadfast and fixed on this goal. This suggests working hard to guard the truth. Everything that depends on you, you must make sure that you're doing everything that you possibly can do to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, before I hurry to a close here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the word keep in the text, it does not suggest that we compromise. Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Or we try to manufacture unity.
Alright?
That's not what that means. We must expose darkness with light.
Alright.
And we must put sin out of the camp.
Alright.
If there's error in the church, we must not overlook that just to symbolize unity.
Amen.
And ain't no such thing as, I've heard it for years. Faith till you make. No. When it comes down to unity in the body, ain't no faking it till you make it. That don't make sense. That don't apply here. We cannot manufacture unity.
Come on.
To keep the unity of the Spirit means to guard what the Spirit has already put in place. This suggests that it's already unity. Remember, we all were sealed and we all have this calling that we have. So this is something that the Spirit of God has already done in the lives of all of us. So what does that mean? What does that mean? I'll give you an example. Remember in the Old Testament, Joshua, they had just came back from battle, and Achan had stolen some spoils. And the Lord said to Joshua, hey, you got sin in the camp. So Joshua, what did they do? They went to Achan's tent. They took Achan. God told them. They took him outside the camp. They took Achan. They took his wife, his children, his dogs, his cats, his animals, and killed them all. Cut it off. If there's sin in the camp, if there's error in the fellowship, we got to cut it off.
Oh, yeah.
We got to radically amputate that.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is not going to bless that. Because there's no unity in that.
Yeah.
There can't be any unity in error or sin if the Spirit, the Word of Truth, is the one that is already implemented the unity. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Y'all tracking with me? And let me tell you something else. Even if that's an individual church member. Hey, don't get quiet on me right
there.
If you have exercised Matthew 18 and expose this sin, and they ain't got a repentant heart, you have went with two or three witnesses, and they still ain't got a repentant heart. You have brought it before the pastor, the deacons, and the whole church, and that individual still ain't got a repentant heart. Put them out. Because God is not going to bless something that is disarray, disunity.
Yeah, come on,
we're not small stuff. You know, because we all are different. We all got our different lights. We're talking about the elementary things of the gospel. We're talking about blatant sin. Well, folk will not repent, turn from their sin, and walk in the other direction. God ain't gonna bless nobody who don't want to be led. Or can't be led.
That ain't me telling you. That's all biblical.
Come on now.
That's all.
All right now.
It's 12:30. Okay. I don't matter what I'm about to walk. We can't even attempt to keep unity or think about making an effort to do this if we're not walking worthy.
Yeah.
If we're not heavy Christians of humility, of meekness, patience, Christians who suffer long, we can't do it. And just so you know, that list is not exhaustive. There are many other places in Scripture where it alludes to our walk, our lifestyle, the way we walk. He tells us to walk as children of the light. He tells us to walk as wise, but not as unwise. Colossians 1:10 says this was to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. That's another key to see if you're walking worthy, if you're bearing fruit in your life. Is the fruits of the Spirit showing up in your life? I mean, ain't none of us perfect.
Amen.
You know, but we all say, but we should be sinning less.
All right.
The same thing that bothered us last year, or got under our skin last year, or led us to fall or stumble last year, that shouldn't be leading us to stumble or fall this year. Because if you are working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, if God is doing a work in you and you're renewing your mind,
Come on now.
I must be talking to myself here. God is bringing about a change in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Not just that He has sealed you, but we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us as well.
Yeah.
Because I can't do any of these things, and you can't do them either, if I'm not filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. Yeah. We just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on our best day, we sin and mess it up.
Yeah.
On our best day.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to grab a hold of. That's what we got to understand. So if you really want to know how to walk worthy, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a secret formula for you. I don't have a big equation for you or a big definition or none of that. It's simply by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of folk accept Christ in their life and find out that they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can guarantee them a spot, and they think they can live in their own kind of way. That's what they do. I would say most folk do that. But the problem with that is, if none of those fruits are showing up in your life, none of the fruits of the Spirit, are you really a Christian? I mean, really? Are you really a Christian?
Oh, what's the fruit? Yes.
I mean, if nothing good ever comes out of you.
Exactly.
Huh? If you never have no joy.
Exactly.
If you ain't never got no peace.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Now. If you're just mad all the time, something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. We got to examine ourselves.
All right, now.
And it's our duty and our job as brothers and sisters in the faith to come alongside each other, so when we start to notice stuff like that, I can have a long, hard-to-hard talk with my brother. Hey, brother, you know that
that don't look right at all. You know, the Lord says that we need to be this, that, and the other. We need to bring these things to each other's attention.
Yes.
And if you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us, if you are trying to walk worthy, what's going to happen is you're going to get an overwhelming, repentant heart.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy Spirit is going to grab a hold of you and tell you, yes, see, I've been telling you all the time. You've been doing this all along.
All right.
And you're going to accurately make the decision and tell God all about it.
Oh, yeah. All
right. Repent of it. Turn around and go in the direction.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's what a body is about. That's what unity in the Spirit is all about. I beseech you to cry out to God and ask Him humbly and wholeheartedly to fill you with His Spirit so that you, me, and all of us can walk worthy of the calling wherewith He was called. Father, we bless your holy name and thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder that you have given us, Lord, that once we are saved, there is still a responsibility that we have. That is a lifestyle that we must exhibit. We need to bear with one another in love. We need to be patient and kind and gentle. We must suffer long. Thank you for this reminder, Lord. And I ask right now that we don't leave this way to stay where we came. Those areas in our Christian walk that don't seem just right or is not meeting up to your standards, I would ask that you would fix that right now.
Yes, Lord.
Fix us right.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
empower
Lord.
Us to walk more in
yes,
the light and
yes.
Not in the dark.
Yes, Lord.
We always.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen.